ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 44. सिद्धान् विद्याधरांश्चैव तिरोधानेन सोऽसृजत् तेभ्यो अददात्तम् आत्मानम् अन्तर्धानाख्यमद्भुतम् सिद्धान् विद्याधरांश्चैव तिरोधानेन सो असृजत् तेभ्यो अददात्तम् आत्मानम् अन्तर्धानाख्यमद्भुतम् सिद्धान् विद्याधरांश्चैव तिरोधानेन सो असृजत् तेभ्यो अददात्तम् आत्मानम् अन्तर्धानाख्यमद्भुतम् सिद्धान् सिद्धास् विद्याधरान् विद्याधरास् च एव एंड आल्सो तिरोधानेन बाय द फैकल्टी ऑफ रिमेनिंग हिडन फ्रॉम विजन सह लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा असृजत् created tebhyah to them adadat give tam atmanam that form of his antardhana akhyam known as the antardhana adbhutam wonderful. Translation and a brief purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, then Lord Brahma, by His ability to be hidden from vision, created the Siddhas and Vidyadharas and gave them that wonderful form of His known as the Antardhana. One line purport. Antardhana means that these living creatures can be perceived to be present, but they cannot be seen by vision. I am going to just read ahead so that we will get to a paragraph which has got a purport. I'll read only the English translations. Text 45. One day Brahma, the creator of the living entities, beheld his own reflection in the water, and admiring himself, he evolved Kimpurushas as well as Kinnaras out of that reflection. Text 46. The Kimpurushas and Kinnaras took possession of that shadowy form left by Brahma. That is why they and their spouses sing his praises by recounting his exploits at every daybreak. Text 47. Oh, there's a little purport here for 46. The time early in the morning, 1.5 hours before sunrise, is called Brahma Muhurta. During this Brahma Muhurta, spiritual activities are recommended. Spiritual activities performed early in the morning have a greater effect than in any other part of the day. Text 47. Once Brahma lay down with his body stretched at full length, He was very concerned that the work of creation had not proceeded apace, and in a sullen mood he gave up that body too. 48. O dear Vidura, the hair that dropped from that body transformed into snakes, and even while the body crawled along with its hands and feet contracted, there sprang from it ferocious serpents and nagas with their hoods expanded. Text 49. One day Brahma, the self-born, the first living creature, felt as if the object of his life had been accomplished. At that time he evolved from his mind the Manus who promoted the welfare activities of the universe. Text 50. The self-possessed creator gave them his own human form. On seeing the Manus, those who had been created earlier, the demigods, the Gandharvas and so on, applauded Brahma, the lord of the universe. Text 51. They prayed, O creator of the universe, we are glad. What you have produced is well done. Since ritualistic acts have now been established soundly in this human form, we shall all share the sacrificial oblations. Purport. The importance of sacrifice is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 10. The Lord confirms that that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created the Manus, along with the ritualistic sacrificial method, and blessed them. Continue these sacrificial rites and you will be gradually elevated to your proper position of self-realization and will also enjoy material happiness. All the living entities created by Brahma are conditioned souls and are inclined to lord it over material nature. The purpose of sacrificial rituals is to revive gradually the spiritual realization of the living entities. That is the beginning of life within this universe. These sacrificial rituals, however, are intended to please the Supreme Lord. Unless one pleases the Supreme Lord, or unless one is Krishna conscious, one cannot be happy either in material enjoyment or in spiritual realization. Oh, this chapter is getting over. Can we finish this? One more, two more shlokas. Having equipped himself with austere penance, adoration, mental concentration and absorption and devotion, accompanied by dispassion and having controlled his senses, Brahma, the self-born living creature, evolved great sages as his beloved sons. Purport. The ritualistic performance of sacrifice are meant for material economic development. In other words, they are meant to keep the body in good condition for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the word yoga is used to refer to the gymnastic performances of different bodily postures which help mental concentration. Generally, the different bodily postures in the yoga system are accepted by less intelligent men to be the end of yoga, but actually they are meant to concentrate the mind upon the super soul. After creating persons for economic development, Brahma created sages who would set the example for spiritual realization. Om Tat Sat. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanityananda Sri Yadvaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been reading about Brahma's activities in creation. And we have seen he has given up so many bodies. He stretched himself and gave up that body too. Apsaras, and he gave another body. In this way, we have seen how Brahma is very creative in his creation. And he is very much dependent on Krishna and performing his devotional service. Finally, we see here that he creates sages from his mind. And it is mentioned here that for that he performed osteopenances, and he was absorbed in devotion accompanied by dispassion. And having controlled his senses, Brahma, the self-born living creature, evolved great sages as his beloved sons. So Prabhupada gives a very brilliant mention here, saying ritualistic performances of sacrifice are meant for material economic development. They are meant to keep the body in good condition for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. Then Prabhupada goes forward to describe what is yoga. So these are very exotic definitions. Vidya means worship of the Supreme Lord. And ritualistic performances are actually meant for economic development. So this is what Brahma has done till now, created those types of beings, people and everybody who are meant for creating situations and circumstances meant for economic development so that people can sustain themselves and they can look after their material situation and facility properly so that they can use that facility in culturing their spiritual life. This is how it goes. Material facility is important, and by looking after that material facility which you have, you can be able to make spiritual progress. In other words, you should not neglect material facility all in the name of a spiritual engagement. Material facility utilized in spiritual engagement also becomes spiritual. But you have to be very clear that it is being utilized for that goal. There's a lot of confusion about what is the spiritual goal. Generally speaking, it's not so easy to understand. If a person reads the Vedic literatures in keeping with this purport on his own, then he can get completely confounded, confused. It is not at all easy to understand Vedic literature as it is. Because we have read Prabhupada's books and we have very, very clear indications, we may be able to say a few things. But actually in the outside world, people who venture to read these things, they just completely go off the track. And so intelligently they go off the track. I mean, I have seen people reciting the whole Bhagavatam year after year and concluding that one should become God. Well, where do you get that conclusion? But it's very common. It's very common. Goes by the practice, you know, what they conclude. This is why, without being guided in what is the meaning of the Vedas, what is the intended meaning? Vedaisya sarver ahameva vedyaha Vedanta krit vedavit evachaham. Unless and until you know Krishna's intention in composing the Vedas, he wants us to know him. At the same time, knowing him is very nicely hidden inside the Vedic literature. Not for anybody and everybody, it will not be revealed unless they are qualified. So the secret inside is mentioned here. He gave birth to the sages. And in order to do that, he performed a lot of sacrifice, a lot of penance. So these great sages, they supposed to have been knowing a deeper sense of the Vedas, and they propagated that. But when they did that also, they had their own ideas and their own way of understanding what was conveyed to them by Brahma. That is born the six systems of philosophy, Shaddarshanas. In that, only in the Bhagavatam do you really know what is the meaning of the whole entire Vedic literature. So the Bhagavatam is the essence. Even within the Bhagavatam, when you read, unless you are guided, you can have your own ideas. So that is why it is said, Guhya Guhyattaram Maya. It's a secret that you simply cannot capture on your own. See, you cannot capture on your own. That's why Prabhupada is mentioning here about ritualistic performances and yoga. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful analogy given, wherein it is the death of a person, and there is a son he has who assumes that he has become an orphan. My father is gone, I have been orphaned. And he goes to an astrologer called Sarvagyan. And Sarvagyan tells him, looks into his horoscope and tells him, no, no, you are not alone. You are not an orphan. Your father has left a great treasure for you. And that treasure is in your house. But I want to caution you, you will not be able to get the treasure normally, so easily. If you dig from the southern side of your house, there are wasps and drones who will come and sting you, and you may not be able to reach the treasure. The western side of your house, if you dig, you will get haunted by a ghost that actually is in that particular place, and you'll become bewildered. You will not be able to reach the treasure. And what to speak about the northern side? From the northern side, if you dig, you'll get stung by a deadly snake that is sitting there. You know what side is left? If you dig from the eastern side, you will get the treasure. This is an allegorical story. So this person is known to have understood it and dug accordingly and achieved the treasure. What it means, the treasure is the Vedic literature. The treasure is the essence of the Vedic literature. Bhaktosi me saka cheti rahasyam hi etat uttamam. This is the rahasya, that's a secret that Krishna gave to Arjuna. That is available to you only in one way. So the eastern direction is bhakti, devotion. In the southern direction, when you dig, drones and wasps will sting you, is the process of karma. Karmakanda portion. You'll get bitten by fruitive activities and you get completely lost in performing, getting fruits, performing, getting fruits. You get waylaid from the real purposes. In the western direction, jnana. You get lost in cultivating knowledge and you're very busy tossing and turning it here and there, this view, that view, footballing it and getting various different speculations on it. You get haunted by the ghost of jnana and you're off the target. Then from the north is practice of yoga, getting siddhis and everything. You get bitten by the desire for siddhis and you don't reach the goal. See, karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala dvishera bhandar. These paths are simply poisonous. The only path is the path of devotion to the Lord. And this you can never understand unless you have access to a pure devotee of the Lord who explains. This is the meaning of what Krishna says here. This is why he is saying it. In Bhagavad Gita, when you read many places, the critics of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktivedanta Swami somehow or the other manages to talk about bhakti, even when it is particularly mentioned Karma Yoga there. Because that's what it means. It's very consistent when you read Prabhupada's purport that he says, this is what Krishna means here. When he says, Buddhi Yoga Mupashitam Achitta Satatam Bhava, it means bhakti. Krishna explained. Prabhupada explained. But he knows it correct. Just like he's saying here, Vidya means worship of the Supreme Lord. He's saying that Vidya means worship of the Supreme Lord. And that's the right understanding. But Prabhupada has it because he's a devotee. He knows what Krishna is trying to say. He's asking that you become a devotee. And that's why he's in his ecstasy saying, become my devotee, forget all these things. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. After one point of time telling yada yada hi dharmasya, I come to institute dharma. In the end, Krishna is saying that dharma, throw it in the waste paper basket. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. In the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking differently. One place he is saying yada yada I come to institute dharma. I am Bhagavan, everything. And in the end he is saying sarva dharman parityajya. Just give up all those things and surrender to me because this is the purpose. You see. This is the purpose. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato paktir atokshache. Paro dharma is to learn how to love God, surrendering to Him, and completely being dependent on Him. This is the purpose. So, if you didn't know that, then you will be in for a lot of trouble in your speculations and your great effort to utilize the Vedic literature for your own enjoyment and trying to get siddhis, fruitive results, etc. So to understand that this is the purpose of life, to develop love for Krishna is actually rare. It's actually very rare. That's why the Nectar of Devotion says that getting love for Krishna, pure love for Krishna, is sudurlabha. One of the characteristics of devotional services rarely achieved. That is why this movement is amazing. Because it only focuses on pure devotion to the Lord. Developing a relationship to the Lord is unprecedented. It's easy to start every other movement in the world and have success also. Because people all want that. They'll crowd around you. But it's rarely that people want pure devotion to the Lord. So that is being instituted by Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in his movement. Without any compromise. That's why all these descriptions, we may wonder even why is this described, creation. We can just talk about pure devotion. These are all the characteristics of a Purana, characteristics of normally Atra Sarga Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayaha. Sarga Visarga, initial creation and the secondary creation, all these are described. This is the secondary creation being described. And in the creation you will understand, everywhere you will understand that devotion to the Lord is what is the main focus. Throughout the Bhagavatam. Throughout the Bhagavatam. That's why great personalities very clearly in their actions and in their teachings repeatedly point out to this. But the conditioned soul is always addicted to material fruitive activity. And he is always looking how to utilize to gain that. Anything that comes to him sees how to utilize it to gain that. Therefore in his repeated prayers, even by the great demigods to Krishna, in the Bhagavatam you will see in many places, it is mentioned that if you chant the Gajendra Moksha prayers regularly, you will be free from bad dreams. If you regularly hear Dhruva Charitra, Dhruva Maharaj is a singer, you can become prosperous. You will become free from this, that. That is not the purpose. Even in the Bhagavatam it says so. One who propagates this has lost the Bhagavatam's real meaning. These are all, you know, baits put there. Those who want that, you hold that and run away. That is not the purpose. Although that is mentioned there, the real purpose is to achieve pure devotion for the Lord. And those who read that, guided in that way, will question as to why this is there. And they know it's meant for those people who want it. It's a bait for them. They'll hold that bait. But our coming in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, Vaishnavas know that these are all superficial. Parokshavada vedoyam balanam anusashanam karma mokshaya karmani vidagde agadam yata. It's mentioned the Bhagavatam itself, Krishna likes parokshavada, indirect mention. The real thing about his devotion and achieving him, everything is hidden inside the Bhagavatam. And it is mentioned indirectly. And those people who really know and want it, they will go past this and achieve the deep internal meaning. His Holiness Bhanu Maharaj very nicely explains this in his own Bhagavatam purpose. So therefore, Vedic scriptures describe that Arthoyam Brahmasutranam Bharatartha Virinayaha, that the real meaning, essence of the Brahma Sutra is hidden in the Bhagavatam. This is the essence. So gradually to bring that out beyond rituals, beyond yoga, beyond karma, beyond jnana, is the purpose of the acharya. The genuine acharya is the person who brings this out and gets that benefit to the people. So you'll see these in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You see this in the pastimes of Krishna repeatedly. Sometimes those who are very absorbed in material ritualistic activities fail to appreciate this. In fact, they criticize devotees very much. When Prabhupada came with his disciples, he was, you know, in South India, I think somewhere, or South India or some other place, and his foreign disciples taking darshan, and the priest watching them pray while giving them, you know, arati plate and everything. He commented, yes, yes, pray nicely, at least in the next lifetime you can be born as a brahmana, then only you'll have success. Something like that. Then Prabhupada, you know, heard this from them. And then he just let out a laugh and said, don't have to worry. And then he gave another story. He gave a story as this priest is stuck somewhere. This time he's got stuck inside. He doesn't understand what you are doing. He doesn't understand what amazing power devotional service has. Under a pure devotee of the Lord, you carry out the chanting of the holy name, worship of the deity. What power he has, he doesn't know. He's a guy stuck up. And he explained to him how a police man during the British times, you know, a British police officer in India, I think he was some cadre. Not a police officer, he was a magistrate. He was a man very high. And a lady, Indian lady, some simple lady, had some problems and that magistrate solved it. So she wanted to bless him. So she blessed him saying that, I hope you'll become a police officer. I bless and pray that you would become. The magistrate knows police officer is right under him. But in her, this is Prabhupada's a real life thing. In her impression, that was the greatest post you could have. And she didn't appreciate that he is a magistrate. Same way Prabhupada said, he doesn't appreciate that the goal of everything that you do, whether it is jnana, karma and anything, is to chant the holy name of the Lord and worship the Lord and develop love for Him. So he gave this example and said, he stuck up thinking that becoming a police officer is very great. Becoming a Brahmin in your next life is very great. It's not all important. You're already doing something great, which even a Brahmana may not be doing. May not be doing. See? So, what we are engaged in is the highest form of worship. It's the highest form of spiritual realization. That we should all be very convinced about. Prabhupada has instituted that very powerfully. Very powerfully. Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. Engaging in Bhagavat service, chanting the holy name. This is mentioned throughout in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, the beginning, the end, everywhere it talks about Harinam Sankirtan. But many people don't do it. They talk about Harinam Sankirtan, but a lot of them don't do it. It's only Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has instituted Harinam Sankirtan, actually. Chant on the streets, chant inside the temple, do japa privately. He insisted, developed a culture of Harinam Sankirtan. And this is what the Bhagavatam is. This is what the Bhagavatam is. The last shloka of the Bhagavatam, the first shloka of the Bhagavatam, in between all great personalities are all talking about that. That is the essence of the Vedic literature. It's not something new. It's there in the Vedic literature all along. In the Shrim Bhagavatam, you'll see, first shloka, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It starts with that. And the last shloka, it glorifies Harinam Sankirtan. Last shloka of the Bhagavatam. Who knows what that is? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarvapapa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanastam Namamim Hariparam. Simply by doing Harinama Sankirtana. And then Prahlad Maharaj is talking about it. Then Bhishma is talking about it. Yesterday we heard how Shukracharya is talking about it. Name it, everybody is glorifying Harinam Sankirtan throughout the Bhagavatam. Throughout the Bhagavatam. Then you have the Supreme Lord Himself come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He practically, physically does it and shows it. This is how you should be a devotee. Having this feeling, doing Harinam and having this feeling, he expressed in the Sikshashtaka. Having this feeling, you should chant the holy name. And that is what is being done. So, the deep core essence is being enacted by anybody and everybody. They got an opportunity to do it. So this is great fortune. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is mentioned here. Vidya means worship of the Supreme Lord. He has created education. Vidya means education. Education means learning how to worship the Supreme Lord. That He has created all over the world. So many branches of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. These are educational institutions. You have a doubt about that? These are because it teach people how to worship the Supreme Lord. In Kirtan, in Bhajan, dress Him very nicely, make offerings to Him. And this is education. And for this education, to get into this institution, you don't have any pre-qualification. You don't need to be qualified. You don't need to have a high IQ. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Even if you're an idiot, dud. Krishna is saying, I give you intelligence to come to me. Because it's not that you don't have intelligence eternally. In this lifetime you don't have it. It's just a part of karma. You know? How people, did I explain that? How in India they test the IQ of the kids. Did I say that here or where? Yeah. Huh? What? Yeah. So how they get tortured and they tested IQ and all those things. But actually we are getting a great opportunity to get free education. Completely free education, and the topmost education given free. Rajya Vidya, Rajya Gugyam, given free. And no initial qualifications. No fees you have to pay. If you want, you can pay a donation in the undi. If you don't want, it doesn't matter. You can eat the prasadam, dance and chant. It's all free. Worshipping the Lord and getting the topmost education is free. That's why it's not popular. Nothing should be free. Nothing should be free in this world. Including teaching Bhagavad Gita sometimes. If you charge, I see people come. If you don't charge, open it free. It's free classes. 2-3 people only come. And if you charge them and tell them it's $300 and you get this session like this, 2 hours a day, you'll see them all lining up. It's all booked. 40 people, 50 people. So, I think all the other institutions are getting filled because they charge money and they teach a lot of useless stuff. Teach a lot of useless stuff. And we give everything free and it's the topmost education. But over a period of time, I think it will pick up. People will know what it really means. Learning to focus on Krishna, learning to think about Krishna, learning to meditate on Krishna by chanting the holy name. Amazing. You see, in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, you have the Leela of Gopinath Patanayak. Gopinath Patanayak is one of the sons of Bhavananda Rai. There are 5 sons and they are the reincarnation of the Pandavas in Chaitanya's Leela. Ramananda Rai was like actually Arjuna. His brother was Gopinath Patanayak, and there was Vaninath Rai. Father was Bhavananda Rai, Pandu. In this way, they were very dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Very, very close to Lord Chaitanya. But it so happened that Gopinath Patanayak, he was one of the collectors for the Lord, collecting money. Not for the Lord, for the Raja, King Pratap Rudra. He was one of the collectors and he collected money, and Pratap Rudra knew that these are all devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So they would collect and they would give, and not no problem with them. He had a very good relationship with King Pratap Rudra. But Pratap Rudra had an eldest son, his name was Purushottamajana. And he had a particular disease in his neck that he couldn't look straight. When he's talking, he would look at the sky and talk like this and shake his head. All funny, looks completely funny. See a guy talking to you and he looks like a sky and talks. It's very funny, right? That he would do that. But he was a little concerned about the fact that my father is, likes him a lot. He's collecting. So one fine day it so happened that Gopinath Patanayak did not give everything that he has collected. There was something remaining. And he had to be told to give it. So this Purushottamajana was told by Gopinath Patanayak, whatever balance I have to give, I've got some good horses, high class. You buy that from me. And whatever balance money is, I'll give it to you. But this guy wanted to, you know, give him a little tough time. So he priced those horses very low. This Purushottamajana priced those horses very low and said, it's worth only so much. Still you have a lot of money to give. So he got angry, Gopinath Patanayak, because he knows, I know your father very well, I mean, I know the king very well. And you, who are you to tell me that these horses are not worth so much? So, but he was negotiating, the guy didn't listen. So Gopinath Patanayak said, at least my horses are not looking all over the sky. At least they look straight and they look pretty good. Why don't you give the proper point? Gopinath Jana got very disturbed, got extremely angry. It's a personal comment he's making. Just like that, he thought, is he irritating fellow? At least my horses are not like you here, looking all over the sky. They've got a straight neck and they do things properly. So this Purushottamajana became very angry. He said, just you wait. He went to his father and said, it's very difficult to get the money from him. He's not giving the money. Will you give me permission to do anything to extract the money from him? He said, yeah, go ahead, you do anything you can extract. You have the right to do that. He's the prince. So you can do anything you want. He said, that's enough. Blanket permission he got. He said, you go on the changa. He imprisoned him. He arrested him, imprisoned him. The Changai means the vertical swords are placed. And then you put on a wooden platform which has got, you know, gaps in between. And you get lowered. It goes, you go directly into the swords. What a amazing punishment. Somebody has thought of this, got imagination. You get lower the person. So he was raised on the Changa, Gopinath Patanayak. He's a devotee. The Lord's devotee. And so everybody heard of this. What crazy thing is going on in King Prataprudra's government? He has raised Gopinath Patanayak on the Changa. So word spread around. And everybody started running, going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and telling Gopinath Patanayak has been raised on the Changa. Everybody is saying, do something about it. Then Lord Chaitanya said, why has he been raised on the Changa? There must be a reason. He didn't immediately agree to everything. Why has he been raised on the Changa? Then they said that some money he has to give and, you know, something he owes and some misunderstanding, this thing and all that. Then said, why are you coming to me for that? Whatever punishment he deserves for not giving money, he is getting. Government's money should never be utilized for anything. It is worse than using a brahmana's wealth. Why doesn't he follow those rules? Let him give back the money and he will come out of the changa. Lord Chaitanya, being in everybody's heart, he knew exactly what was happening. Then again people came to him and said, then he said, why doesn't he give back the money? He has used the money to go and see dancing girls. Tell him to give back the money. Then the third time they got all sorts of influential people to tell, if you tell the king, he will be saved. But Lord Chaitanya had other plans. If you tell the king, you will be saved. Lord Chaitanya had other plans. He said, see, I am a sannyasi. What do you want me to go and tell the king? I said, you want me to spread my cloth and say bhiksha to the king? How much he will give a sannyasi? He will give some bhiksha, he may give me something to eat. And how is that enough for, you know, paying back everything that Gopinath Patanayak owns? So don't ask me this, you're all disturbing me too much. Everybody knew that he could do, but he was not doing anything. He was saying, let him go ahead, let him face what he's supposed to face. But he's your devotee. But he's your devotee. So he said, I don't know. I am a sannyasi. I don't get involved in all these things. Then they begged him and he said, why are you asking me? Go and ask Lord Jagannath. If at all anybody can do anything, it's Lord Jagannath who can do. Although he was Lord Jagannath, he directed them like that. And just when they all started praying to Lord Jagannath, there's no other go, they started praying to Lord Jagannath. It so happened by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement that one of them who came got inspired to go and speak to the king. Well, this is not going to work out with Lord Chaitanya. So he said, I know somebody, contact. He went and told, got to the king. Do you know this is happening? That your son has raised Gopinath Patanayak on the Changa? He said, I don't know. He's going to get killed because he doesn't have the money to give. He said, I don't know all these things. And do you know that he is a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya? You know what will happen to you if Lord Chaitanya comes to know that he has been, you know, executed on the Changa? Prataprudra became really disturbed. Who did this? I don't know. I just told him, you can extract the money from him. I didn't tell him to go and put him on the Changa and kill him. Then he said, do you know it's no use if you kill him? You lose the money and you lose him together. It's a stupid thing. People are going to talk about you. He was very smart in accelerating Prataprudra to do what is necessary. So Prataprudra got completely disturbed and he ordered that immediately he be taken out of the Changa. Then, he had before that also arrested all the family members, including Bhavananda Rai and other brothers. All of them, Vaninath Rai, all of them arrested. He went on doing everything he wants to do against Gopinath to, you know, give him a real tough time. But Gopinath Patanayak, it's mentioned, that he didn't say anything. He just said, I gave the horses. And it was a lot of money. And he wants to undervalue them. What more can I do? All he was doing on the Changa is to continuously think of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and chant Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Krishna. He was continuously chanting. And then his family members, they were all chanting Hare Krishna there and thinking of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. That's all they were doing. And Lord Chaitanya checked it. He asked, what was Swaminathan Rai doing there inside when he was arrested? And the devotees told him he was chanting like nothing. And tears were coming out of his eyes. And all of the family members were chanting. And Gopinath Patnaik was asked, after he came down and met Lord Chaitanya, what he did on the Changa. He said, I was constantly thinking of your lotus feet and chanting the holy name. Continuously, completely meditating on the holy name of the Lord, chanting and depending on the Lord. There's a nice shloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Katanchit smrite yasmin dukaram sukaram bhavet vismarite vipritam vashri chaitanyam namamitam. That if you think of Lord Chaitanya, his lotus feet and his beautiful activities, dukaram sukaram bhavet, everything that is supposed to be sorrowful will turn out to be happy. But vismarite viparitam va. But if you don't think of him, forget to think of Krishna, then the opposite will happen. Everything that is filled with happiness for you will turn out to be sorrowful. You can pick your choice, whatever you want. Remember or don't remember. So, Gopinath Patnaik was completely absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. Come what may. And what was sorrowful turned out to be very happy. Because he was brought down from the Changa and Pratapudra said to his son, take the horses. Take the horses. And not only that, he told, I waive you from all the remaining money. And I give you a hike in your salary. I make it double. And I give you a higher post. Because he was so afraid that Lord Chaitanya should not think anything that I put him on the Changa. So it turned out that Gopinath Patnaik came and told Lord Chaitanya, see what all happened to me. I got double promotion. I got a higher pay. All these happened only because I continuously meditated. Not that I want these things. Because I meditated on your lotus feet and chanted the holy name. So this is how devotees live their life. Devotees live their life by complete faith in the instructions. The key instructions given in the Bhagavad is to chant the holy name of the Lord and depend on him. This is the highest principle in the whole Vedic literature. And you can see practically that is enacted by Lord Chaitanya and his devotees in many, many places. Many places. And Prabhupada started the movement like that. He just depended on Krishna and jumped into the Jaladuta and went all the way to America after two heart attacks. Nobody would do that. No sane man would do that. Definition of sane in the modern world. No sane man would do that. But he did that. And he was depending on Krishna. He was not arrogant. He was very humble. Very humble person. Depending on the Lord. And doing what is necessary according to Krishna's order, according to his spiritual master's order. And he became very successful in preaching. So it's our business to preach this core message which is not known to people. And it has been made very easy because we just have to follow the track left by Prabhupada. That we distribute these books. We speak these contents to people and when they come and see us, they see us practicing it. We're chanting the holy name, attending the morning session, discussing the Bhagavad and doing everything. For many people it says, it feels a little different initially because they're so addicted to other types of religious performances. But over a period of time, as they get to know, Krishna gives them intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. He gives them intelligence to understand what to actually do, how to perform. So although we, you know, have Mantra Yoga Center, Urban Yoga Center, and that launch, so our yoga business is, we know, it's very different. We had International Yoga Day because from India Narendra Modi has made it very popular. In our International Yoga Day, we had a whole yoga for youth, a big seminar. And in that seminar, there were all sorts of people who come to learn yoga. And we called a small boy who was very good at yoga asanas to perform on the stage. He had a standing ovation because he was bending himself double, triple and doing all sorts of postures, you know. Right? So our devotees afterwards took over after the half of the session. And they said, actually, they put up a picture of this guy doing like this and putting his legs through his nose and it's coming up like this. All sorts of things he did. We said, actually, yoga is not at all so difficult. Put that picture. It's not so difficult. You don't have to do all these things. It's very tough to bring your leg through your backside into in front of your face. So tough. And the slide said, yoga is much easier than this. And we explained to them very simply what it means. The fact that yoga means bhakti to the Supreme Lord is not known all over India and all over the world. But there are some other people who know it. There was a big protest on the International Yoga Day made by the Muslims all over the world. And many of their people were asking the high priests, the mullahs and everybody, can we do yoga because it's so useful? And just we exercise them. They said, don't do yoga. It's a Hindu religious thing. Now they were wondering, but it's good for me. It's good for health. And all. Don't do yoga. Because it's got nothing to do with our teachings, Quran's teachings. Yoga is Hindu. They are trying to get you to become Hindu through yoga. See, this Prime Minister has made it all over the world, 160 countries are taking International Yoga Day. Don't take part in it. And the reason he gave, see, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Krishna is talking to Arjuna, he's mentioned, Yoginam api sarvesham, he's quoting that shloka. I thought, extremely intelligent man, very well read. He's pointing out, but not one person in all the Mayavadi groups and all the yoga enthusiasts ever said that. That's a key shloka that says that yoga means Shraddhavan bhajate yomam sami yuktatamo mataha. He's saying that bhajan, do for Krishna, that person is greatest yogi. Don't follow yoga. So we cited this and said, this must be something about it that the Muslim man said it. Let's look into it. And we presented bhakti yoga. It's true that some people know it and they don't know how to practice it, what to do. But the Muslim man knows that because they're talking about love for God and all those things. And they say, see, they're doing the same thing. Love for God means it's true religion. It is Hindu religion. Don't do yoga. It was fun. I mean, telling them, that all of those RSS enthusiasts and all of them wondering, how did we not notice this? So it's only Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's purports you will see that really yoga means this. Chanting the holy name of the Lord is the highest yoga. This is what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to tell people that you chant the holy name of the Lord. If you want, you can do a few asanas. Keep yourselves fit. But we don't think it's a prerequisite for practicing yoga. In this way, Srila Prabhupada is a trailblazer. He's done an amazing service to humanity. Much against so much opposition. Whole world thinks differently about yoga, about religion, about everything. And Srila Prabhupada has gone across the current and he's presented Krishna consciousness. And it makes so much sense if you just apply your mind to it. But most people have their own preconceived notions about what religion is, what yoga is. It's so difficult to knock them out of it. But this is the truth. This is the truth. So therefore the essence of religion, that has been brought out beautifully by Srila Prabhupada in his purports and his books. If we simply practice the chanting of the holy name, we are performing a huge, activity. We don't even know it, how important and how effective it would be. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki. I think this is my last session here. I'll be leaving tomorrow. Thank you very much for a great time in ISKCON Melbourne. Hari Bol. Any questions? Any comments? Speaking on the same topic, on the same thing, I've been challenging for 3 continuous days. The same type of shlokas, giving up the body, giving up the body. Yes. Muchukunda. Interesting question. Always look into Prabhupada's life, what he did. That's the best example. You'll have no doubts. He said, do as I do. Do the needful. Do as I do. And Prabhupada is not sitting around somewhere in Vrindavan, chanting in a quiet corner, alone. For him, devotional service means washing the pots, cooking, cleaning the place up, writing, translating, publishing, opening centers, traveling, solving problems, counseling people, you know, taking a fledgling institution up, putting a managerial structure in it. Everything. And it didn't all happen because he sat down and chanted Hare Krishna in a corner. It didn't manifest itself. He didn't teach us that type of a magic. He asked us to be very balanced and deeply inside in the core of our being know that Krishna is the doer. I am simply an instrument. Right? But that doesn't mean that Krishna is a doer so I go to sleep. Anyway, Krishna is going to do it. What credit will I get anyway? Just keep quiet. No. Nahi suptasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mrigha. The lion in the forest, although he's the king of the forest also, it's not that I am the king of the forest and he opens his mouth and the deer walks inside as his meal. Sleeping lion doesn't open its mouth and the deer walks inside because he's the king of the forest. He also has to get up and stalk his prey, hunt. Although he's the king of the forest and people run away from him. All the animals run away from him. And he kills and he eats. He has to labor. See, even the founder Acharya for a moment did not lie down and think, I am the founder Acharya. Everybody else do the thing. No. Till his last breath, he was doing everything that's necessary. Right? But it is based on a deep internal dependence on Krishna. So that tipping over thinking that it depends on me, therefore I should do it. And then only it will happen. There's a little balance there. I am just an instrument and I will do whatever is required. How it will consummate itself and appear, and this depends on Krishna. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. I shift my focus. Who am I after all? You know? Like that. So there's an interesting balance that you have to practice there. It's not that we don't perform and don't act. We chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavat, everything, and then we start acting for Krishna. What's the service I need to do in the outside world? We move matter, we use our intelligence and deal with matter so that can be utilized in the service of Krishna. Just like Brahma did. Keeping our connection with Krishna. Chetasa sarvakarmani mayi sanyasya matparaha buddhi yogam upashritya machitta satatam bhava. Krishna is saying that. And he's also saying that your intelligence should be dovetailed with me. What is the shloka? Ashantasya kuta sukam. What is the shloka? It starts with dovetailing your intelligence with me. Otherwise you won't be very happy. You know, whatever is required in Krishna consciousness, we perform. What is required? Sometimes we have to go to courts. Somebody is in India. You know, we have court cases against us by our own member. And we go appear in court and protect their society. And you can wonder at him, what am I doing in the court? I have nothing to do with this. I gave up all these things and came to chant Hare Krishna and dance and chant and read Bhagavat and preach. Why am I being sent to court? So there's a wave of people sometimes that think that we should simply chant and dance and read and worship and sit down. I don't think many people can even do that. They're so, you know, under the modes that they need to do lots of things with their hands and their brains and their everything. It's not so easy to sit down one place and chant Hare Krishna without falling asleep. It's difficult to be an Amacharya. I don't think it's so easy. It's very difficult to be an Amacharya. To sit down in one place and chant Hare Krishna and then read Bhagavat and then chant and then eat a little bit and do all that. So Prabhupada said that eating, sleeping devotees can go to Mayapur and chant 64 rounds. He's in a letter he's written, he said, Calcutta is meant for those who are ready to go out for collection every day and meet people and expand the movement. Eating, sleeping devotees can go to Mayapur and they have to chant 64 rounds a day. So if you have no service to do, you can just chant Holy Dham, Hare Krishna, but he said chant 64 rounds a day. You cannot sleep actually. If you chant 64 rounds a day. But he very clearly understood what you're planning to do. So he said, chant, oh yes, fine, you want to chant all day, chant 64 rounds. And you should eat little prasad. Wow, my plan was different. If you want to do reading, chanting alone and be nice without doing so, chant 64 rounds a day and read Bhagavatam. That's what Raghunath Das Goswami did. He paid obeisances thousands of times a day to Vaishnavas, to the Holy Dham and everything. And he chanted 22 hours a day. That's why Lord Chaitanya told him, go to Vrindavan, because you are fit to live in Vrindavan. You know how to do it. And he told the rest of them, he told others, don't stay in Vrindavan for too long. But he told the Goswamis, go stay in Vrindavan. Because they were doing this all the time. It's not so easy to do that. Many people think that they can go to Radha Kund and sit down and do this. And they go and sit down there, their mind doesn't give them any peace. So therefore, there are so many different types of engagements and all of them are devotional service. You can help manage the society, distribute books, chip in whatever is required and balance yourself. As you grow older, maybe you have a greater taste for chanting the holy name, you want to read and you're physically not so this thing. Then you take a step back and do a different type of counseling, advising, a more executive this thing. Then as you grow older, then you can step back further and do bhajan more. And if you're really old, you're going to die, then you can sit in Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. You can see Prabhupada's words in these things. He didn't expect us to. He said, work now, samadhi later. Famous saying. So we are meant to, there's so many people waiting to chant Hare Krishna and we can speak to them, talk to them, distribute books. An amazing amount of service to do. How can we go and sleep somewhere and keep quiet? Yes. Any other question or comment?
That verse was nasti buddhi ayuktasya.
Pardon?
Nasti buddhi ayuktasya.
Nasti buddhi ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana. Thank you. Ashantasya kuta sukam. A intelligence that is not dovetailed. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana. Very interesting. Dovetailing everything in Krishna. Intelligence that is not dovetailed with Krishna. Right. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful Melbourne experience. And thank you for all the great health food that I gobbled up. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.